Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for inspirational Wednesday night Bible study. Plain and simple words of wisdom. As always, it's a privilege to come before the people of God, where we come together in fellowship in a Bible study that God has ordained. I'm your host, Diane Adams, and I just want you to know that I'm a servant of God, and I'm really just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. God's word is real. It is true. It is our strength. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Genesis, the 19th chapter, verses 17 through 26. And the title of the lesson is To Move Forward. You must stop looking back. To move forward, you must stop looking back. What I'm going to do is play a song at this time. And once the song is finished playing, we're going to come back and explore the word of God together. And we're going to go to the throne of grace. So I'm asking that you be prayerful for our Bible study tonight, that everyone receive what they have come for, that the Holy Ghost will give them illumination and revelation. That's my prayer. But I need you guys to be prayerful as well. So I'm going to play the record, and the record title is Once in a Lifetime. Listen to the words. I'll come back, we'll pray, and we'll go into the lesson. Thank you, and be blessed.
Mountain looked small, couldn't wait till I had it all. Closer I get, the more distant I feel. The more I thought I had, the less it all seemed real. Suddenly I found the only thing for me that counts, and I can't imagine my life without you. Once in a lifetime, find a love you know is real. Once in a lifetime, you find something that makes your songs live. Once in a lifetime, find a friendship that's worth the wait. And once in a lifetime, you find joy you can't replace. I used to think that it was the trophies on my wall. Thought if I'd won, then I'd have it all. And I couldn't wait till everybody knew my name. I had my own ideas of fame. Closer I'd get, the more distant I'd feel. The more that I thought I had, the less it all seemed real. And suddenly I found the only thing for me that counts. I can't imagine my life without you. Once in a lifetime, you find a love you can't. you find the purpose to live on. Once in a lifetime, you find the meaning of your dreams. And once in a lifetime, you find the one who gives life meaning. Once in a lifetime, you find the love you know is real. Oh, once in a lifetime, you find something that makes your soul live. Once in a lifetime, you find a friendship that's worth the wait. Oh, once in a lifetime, you find joy you can't replace. Oh, once in a lifetime, I found the best thing I know. Once in a lifetime, there's no sign of letting go. I know what I found is true. Though I've searched in every place to find the thing that makes life complete, now I know, Lord, that thing is you.
The title of that song was Once in a Lifetime. It is truly amazing how no matter what we're doing, how far we go, how old we get, if we keep pressing towards the things of God, we're going to realize that nothing can compare to God. It is now time to go to the throne of grace. If someone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone and I'll open the mic for you if someone would like to pray. Caller, your number is 504-715. Your mic is open.
God, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you because you're worthy of all honor, all praise, and all glory. God, your word declares faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we come tonight that you would increase our faith, Lord God, with your word, Lord God. You said in all thy getting, get some understanding. So we ask that you would open our understanding and give us wisdom to walk in wisdom, Lord God. Oh, God, and your word says that, beloved, above all, you would that we would prosper and be in good health, even as our soul prospers. So we come in that our soul would prosper through your word, Lord God, that a faith would increase, oh God, because we know that your word says, though the outer man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. And we thank you for renewing the inner man. God, we thank you, Lord God, for putting Sister Diane on this prayer, Bible study line. Oh God, that she would give us words of wisdom, Lord God. And God, we just thank you that every ear would be open tonight and attended to your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Sister Elyria Mackey, for that beautiful prayer. And it really lines up with the word of God because you say, Lord, please increase our faith. And you see, the story tonight is about a faith walk or the lack thereof. So I'm going to say the lesson again, and we're going to go into scriptures. For those who have your Bibles, please open it to the book of Genesis, 19 chapter. And those who don't have a Bible with them but have a Bible that they can get, please get your Bible and open it. And those who don't have a Bible and need a Bible, if you call the prayer line, we can get you a Bible. You got to remember the Bible is your daily instruction for your daily living. It's the moral compass that God has designed for us, that he has allowed the Holy Spirit to be on the dial, and he leads and guides us into the things of God. So I encourage you to use what God has given you, because the word of God is our strength. So we're going into the lesson, and as always, I do a background. So I want you to know that the background tonight is about Lot. But it's impossible to speak about Lot without talking about Abraham. You see, Lot was Abraham's nephew. Abraham had a brother named Haran that died. Lot, his son, was in the care of his grandfather, Abraham's father. But what happened? Abraham died. Abraham's father died. Excuse. And not long after that, God called Abraham and told him he should leave his family and homeland. Abraham took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, and all his possession, and he left. He didn't question it. He didn't say, "You got to tell me where I'm going." He just left. How many times someone is telling you something to go somewhere to do something and you can't even do what's being asked because all of the questions you feel you must ask before you move. But you see, Abraham did not know where he was going, but he trusted God. You see, some wonder if Abraham acted in disobedience by taking Lot because God said, "Leave your family." But the Bible does not say. And if you want a little bit of background, you know the custom of them days. If a man died and he had a child, it was up to the brother to marry the wife. You know, but they don't speak about Haran's wife or anything like that. But Lot was in the custody of the grandfather, and the grandfather died, and evidently Abraham looked at it as a responsibility. You see, but what happened, the two men chose to obey God and move from their land of origin into the land that God had promised Abraham. I want you to know tonight that God has a master plan. It's already in place. It was ordained before the foundation of the world. And he chooses the players for the right season for the right reason. You in that plan. He's chose you for several things. And the thing I want to ask you tonight, are you doing what God has told you to do? Are you doing the things of God that only He has designed for you? You know, I've been saying this for the last couple of weeks because it's just so dear to my heart. So many people, you know, quote the scripture, what God has for you is for you, and they say it with such authority, and they say it, you know, proudly, you know, and they say it a lot. But I want to add something to it and let you know that the work that God has for you to do is for you to do. All of us have an assignment. You see, as you study the life of Lot and Abraham, with all the disappointments, acts of distrust and pride on their part, God was right there working it out for their good. You must realize it's all a part of God's plan. And where he guides, he also provides. Abraham and Lot left and was going where God told them to go. And while they was traveling, that's what I want to let you know. You see, even when you have to do what God tells you to do, and it doesn't seem like it makes sense to you, but you see, when you obey God, we always say wherever God guides, he provides. And while you are going to where God wants you to be, he's providing for you in your journey. The children of Israel for the 40 years in the wilderness, they was going to the promised land, but God was providing. He gave them meat. He gave them manna. He gave them clothes. The clothes they had on didn't wear out and the shoes on their feet. You see, God was providing even in the midst of their, like I'm saying, their distrust and their pride and you know, doing what they wanted to do. God had a plan, and nothing's going to trump God's plan. So Abraham and Lot had gained so much that it was impossible for them to stay together. Abraham and Lot's servants weren't getting along, and there wasn't enough grass for their herds to feed. You see, Abraham decided they need to separate. Watch this. He told Lot, if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. See, he was giving Lot the first pick. But now here's where you see Lot's selfishness. Lot looked at what he thought was the best of the choices, the best land. We are all told that we shouldn't let the green grass fool us, because the grass always looks greener on the other side. You see, Lot chose the land close to Solomon and Gomorrah. But watch this. Before you know it, he was lured into Solomon and Gomorrah. And that's how Lot got in Solomon and Gomorrah. You see, Solomon was a city of great riches, as were the other cities and towns in the plain. Whenever you look up Solomon and Gomorrah, they're going to always tell you about five cities. Solomon and Gomorrah was in a plain, and there were five cities. Solomon was a city, and Gomorrah was a city, and they had other cities. Its people possessed the finest clothes, food, and various other goods. With their lives surrounded by countless items of luxury, the citizens were self-satisfied. Me, myself, and I did this. I'm self-made. And they were very prideful about their existence. They saw no need to seek after God. Solomon was a wicked place. Scripture has shown that they were not hospitable to strangers and the poor. You see, you know, I'll say that after I say the other part. Also, the cities was dealing in all sorts of sexual sins, homosexuality, and unnatural sex. You know, people want to, you know, the word Solomon, the word Sodom, from Sodom and Gomorrah, that's where the word sodomy came from. So people, that's where the word sodomy came from. And you know what sodomy means. I looked it up in 6 dictionaries today. You know, it's sexual acts. Man with man, and even people that's not the same sex, but man and a woman doing certain sexual acts, you know, and it deals with the anal, and it deals with unnatural sex. And other people believe it was because of the homosexuality that Solomon was destroyed. Some people believe, as I say, I found in Scripture, that they weren't hospitable to the poor and strangers. And maybe that's a reason why Lot was saved. Because, you know, we know the story that the angels came to him. And he invited them in and cooked them a meal and begged them to stay. And just like when God met Abraham in the 18th chapter that I asked you to read, the angels came to him to tell him that what they was going to do. And they received the men. Come on now, y'all. Can you look at yourself as hospitable? And you got to remember, in those days, it was a custom that you had to treat strangers really good. Lot was fearful of something happening to those angels on his watch. So when the men came, you know, that's in the story. Y'all should have read it. But when the men came, Lot wanted to protect them, where he even offered his daughters. You see, Solomon and the people were so perverted. That God told Abraham that he agreed. Let me go back. Solomon, the people, was so perverted that God told Abraham that he was going to destroy the entire city. And watch this. Abraham began to negotiate with God on behalf of the city and the people. He talked to God. So I want to let you know, it's all right to ask God questions and all right to tell God what you think. So Abraham negotiated, and God agreed, and he said he would spare Lot and his family. This was not the first time after their departure that Abraham had to rescue Lot. There was a war in Solomon, and Solomon was defeated, and Abraham heard about it, and he went because that was his family. You know what we do for our family. And he handled the situation, and he rescued Lot. You know, sometime reading the story, it seemed that Lot was more trouble to Abraham than help. But you see, Abraham had a great love for people, all people. And he had a great love for family, which made him go to God to negotiate. You see, once in Solomon, Lot joined in the customs, the faults, the bad habits, and their belligerent disobedience, their blatant belligerent disobedient they had towards God. Lot appeared to have been walking in faith while he was with Abraham. Because of the conflict, they separated, and it appears that Lot has lost his faith. Now, you're going to say, well, Sister Diane, what make you think that? Because Lot starting looking at the things he could see. Lot had lived with righteous teaching from Abraham. So he knew who God was, and he even knew what God could do. The Bible says that Lot was a righteous man. But God also rescued Lot from Sodom because he was a righteous man who was sick of the shameful immorality of the wicked people. You know, Lot lived there, and I guess sometime he participated. You know how you don't like what's going on somewhere? And yet you stay there. You see, Lot didn't like what was going on. Lot did not like what was going on. But he stayed there. Excuse y'all. My sinus is up. But watch this. Lot stayed there. because of Lot's association with the people in Sodom, who he now called friends, his vision now is only by sight. You know how people could pull you into something? And, you know, like the old people say, show me your company and I'll tell you y'all. You know, some of us may be strong and mature enough to just be around anything and still hold on to the confession of our faith. But I could tell you, if you keep going around and don't dare start dibbling and dabbling, you might find yourself in the same position as Lot. Having faith is trusting that the things that you cannot see. You know, the scriptures say, now faith is the evidence of things hoped for, things not seen. You see, if you could see it, you don't need faith. Lot's story is also an ultimate illumination of God's great mercy. In spite of Lot's poor choices, God saved him and his daughter from the violent end in Sodom and preserved his line, his lineage, his family name throughout the ages. Pretty good. So now if we look at the scriptures, and I'm starting at scripture 15, I'm going to read 15 and 16, and it said, and when the morning rose, then the angel hastened Lot, saying, arise, take your wife and your two daughters, which are here. Now, see, that's a lot of controversies in the theologian world. They say your two daughters are here, and some people believe they say your two daughters here is that he had other daughters. Lest thou be consumed in the iniquities of the city. In 16, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon his hand of his wife and upon the hands of his daughters, and God be merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. You see, the angels of God came and rescued Lot. They came to do what God had sent them to do. They came to do what they had told Lot that they would do. They came there because God had promised Abraham. And if God said it, you could believe it, and it's going to come to pass. You see, they came to rescue Lot and his family. But you know, Lot and his family was taking their time as if they was reluctant to leave. Lot hesitated. So the angel had to literally grab his hand and rushed him to safety. Lot did not want to abandon the wealth, the position, or the comfort he now enjoys in Sodom. You see, by this time, Lot is now a prosperous citizen of Sodom and holding a high position in the civic and social life in the city. Lot was a VIP in Sodom, and I'm sure his wife enjoyed it also. Probably he never really intended to drift into worldly, sensual things and dishonoring God or buy into the life in Sodom. But what Christian ever intended to get away from God and to dishonor him? You know, we don't sometimes start out to do the things we do, but you got to catch yourself. And there's somewhere, I don't think it's in the Bible, well, it might be in Proverbs where King Solomon talk about it, but it is said that a hint to the wise is sufficient. You got to remember that the Word of God has given us examples of people, places, and things. And if we take these examples that the Word of God has given us, the things that people did good and were blessed, you do that. And the things that people did that caused them hurt, harm, danger, or their life, you should look the other way. Because there's a possibility what they got you will get also. So when we're looking at Lot, Abraham, and Lot's wife and his daughters, see what God is saying about these characters, that he allowed it to be penned in his word of God for you, for us this night, reading these scriptures. You see, in 17, I'm going to read 17 all the way to 22, and it says, "And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life." This the angel talking to him. "Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plains." That's the whole five cities in the plain that I talked about earlier. "Escape to the mountains." Now this is the angels telling him what to do. Look what he said, "Lest thou be consumed." You don't do this, you're going to get caught up. Now watch this, 18. Lot said unto the angels, to them, "Oh, not so, my Lord." He was calling the angels my Lord. He knew it was somebody special. He knew it was someone from God. And 19 said, "Behold, now thy servant had found grace in thy sight." You found grace in my sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain. He's saying, "I know you found favor in me. You came to do this thing. You pulled me out of the darkness. And I imagine you're trying to send me to the marvelous light, but I don't want to go where you want me to go. I don't want to go in a mountain, lest some evil take me and I die." Verse 20. "Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it's a little one. Oh, let me escape hither. Let me go there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." 21. "And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city," the city that Lot wanted to go to, "for that which thou hast spoken," since you asked, okay, I'm going to do that. 22, "hasten thee, escape hither, for I cannot do anything till thou become hither." Like, okay, go ahead, let's get it started. I got a job to do, and I can't destroy this place until you leave. You won't go to that city. Go ahead to the city. "Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar." You see, when we read this scriptures here, we see Lot wanted to have his way again. All that God has done, was doing for him right then and there, and has promised to do, Lot still was not satisfied. You see, these angels came to rescue them that had the plan from God. The angels were sent from God. If angels come to you, you know they sent from God. If they tell you something, you know it's the plan of God. You see, the angels came to rescue them, and they had a plan from God, and Lot wanted to change it. He was saying, "Let's make a deal. I'm going to leave, but when you let me go where I want to go." He didn't want to go to the mountains. He even told him, "I know you found favor in me, and I know you're having mercy on me, and you're saving my life. But," see that word, "but," anytime, you know, they got a saying on the street about "but," but I'm not going to say it right now. He said, "but I cannot go to the mountains because of fear. Let me go to the little city because it's near." To me, that sounded like a little laziness. He wouldn't have to, you know, run that far. The city was near. So he said, "Let me go to the city." And I think he was lazy. And besides that, I believe, I didn't say the Bible say it, but I believe that he wanted to be as close to what he knew. Many times we have to leave our comfort zone to receive what's in store for us. The angel agreed and said, now go, because I can't do anything because of the promise until you go. You know, there are sometimes people, places, and situations that's in our life that God wants out of our lives. Some of them is our comfort zone. It could be something as simple as a job that God want to move you from, and because you know everybody and you're used to it and you could kind of do a little bit like maybe you want, you decide to stay there beyond with God wanting you to be there. We have to be careful about our comfort zone. We have to be careful. And if we look at Scripture 23 through 26, and they say the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the habitats in the city and that which grew upon the earth. But his wife, 26, looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. That's why the next lesson tonight is you got to move forward. You got to stop looking back. What's behind you has already happened, and you can't change it. You can learn from it, but even learning from your past is what keeps you moving to your future. You see, Lot lost his wife to disobedience. They were told to keep it moving and don't look back. She valued the city of sin more than the refuge that God had prepared for his people. How often we too find the allures of this world more captivating and eye-catching than the things of God. Hallelujah. The things that God has ordained for his saints to walk in. She could have really been more grateful for the deliverance. But you see, now she has little or no faith because she's looking only at what she can see. Stop looking back, it takes faith. Faith is what helps you to keep going forward. Lack of faith keeps you stuck in a place you shouldn't be. It's not the place that God wants you to be. We don't know much about Lot's wife. The Bible doesn't even give her name. But she is even spoke of in the New Testament. See, everything God do, he use it. Now, he done gave us all an illustration of the shortcomings of life, Lot's wife, you know, the way she did things. He did that in Genesis. Now, I went to the New Testament in the book of Luke, chapter 17, 28 and 31. It says, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they brought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, and it destroyed all of them. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed, talking about Jesus Christ. You see, in that day, he which shall be upon the rooftop, and his stuff may be in the house, let him not come down to take it away. If you on a roof when Jesus come and your stuff is in the house, you go with Jesus and leave the stuff. Hallelujah. And then it goes on to say, let him not come down and take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return. And the scripture says, remember Lot's wife. God is reiterating the importance of not looking back. God is a forward God. He's not a backward God. This is letting us know when God says to move, move. Don't look back. Just keep it moving. You see, Lot's wife was concerned with what she was losing and couldn't see what was ahead. You know, many times in our lives, our upbringings, our marriages, our finances may not have been the best. And if you're not careful, because they got 50-year-old people still holding their head down and saying what my mama didn't do for me and if what my daddy didn't do, and if they would have did it, my life would have been better. You don't know what your life would have been. And I have a rule that I use. You know, I say if God wanted us to raise our children to 18, and if somebody is at least 36, that means you had 18 years and they had 18 years. And if they ain't did nothing with the 18 years that they were in total custody and control of, you know, it might not be what you did. It might just be them. And even if they allowing what they believe wasn't right, for those 18 years to hold them back for the next 18 years is still their problem. Oh, my parents didn't give me no money. Oh, I didn't have this and I had that. You're still living, because I know you're living because you're on the phone with me tonight. So we have to keep it moving. We have to stop looking back. We have to go forward in the things of God. Remember Lot's wife. You know, and then when, you know, why you need the word of God, when you start feeling that way, because we human now. I'm not going to tell you you're not going to feel that way. I'm just suggesting don't keep staying in it, because you can't go forward. And all of us sometimes may break down in our journey and wallow for a little while. But you got to pick yourself up, like he told Job in the Bible. Pick yourself up by your loins and keep it moving. So whenever you feel in that way, you could remember Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. Hallelujah. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. You should always remember that God has a plan for your life, your plan for your life. That's God's job, and he do it so well, and he said he do it well, and he has proven that he do it. But it's your responsibility to submit, to trust, and obey. You know, I'm not, no matter what the circumstances look like or even how you feel at the moment, you still have to do your part. God has never changed. God say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So how do we get to have these times out and these vacations from the things of God? We have to stop looking back at what has happened, because it has already happened. And you cannot change what has happened. You could spend a lot of time talking about it. You could get all rumbled up in your spirit and it get in your head, and now Satan's going to play tricks on you, because that's what he's waiting for you, to keep the junk in your trunk. You got the right to do that. because you're a free moral agent. But the word tells us that it's not best for us. We have to keep it moving because there will be a brighter day if you trust God, who is the author and a finisher of our faith. And again, I tell you the words of God, the words in the Bible, the words of Luke. Remember Lot's wife. And what he was making a illustration was, there's another illustration just like that when the word of God tell you in the days of Noah, they was eating, drinking, married, and being married. What he's saying is, let's just hypothetically think that Jesus come back tomorrow. And all of this perversion and all of this evilness and all of this leadership, not caring about the people, all of these things that are happening. You see, the Bible say when Jesus come back, we don't know the day nor the hour. So what he was saying is, you don't know. And all of this going to be going on, what they say, they was eating and drinking and doing these things, and Jesus came back. But if you're on the rooftop, like I'm talking about the rapture, Jesus' return. But the point is, since we don't know the day nor the hour, we have to stay in position to receive all that God has for us. And the way to do that is that we have to keep and hold on to the confession of our faith. See, and Lot went in the town, and when he first went there, maybe the people respected him as a man of God, but when Lot started doing everything that they were doing, because, you see, they said he went to his son-in-laws. Now, there's a lot of different opinions about the son-in-laws. Some people believe that the two daughters, like they said, the angel told him, the daughter's in your house. Some people believe that the daughters was engaged to marry two guys. That's one theory that they say, because the Bible don't say, but it did say he went to his son-in-laws, if y'all read the rest of the scripture. And others believe that he had other daughters that were married. And when Lot went to tell them, come on, y'all, we got to go, if the guys just laughed at him, you know, he had no credibility anymore. Do you have credibility with your loved ones, your family, your friends, your neighbors? Do you have credibility? Can you influence anybody in your life? But the son-in-laws laughed at him. And if he did have two daughters that was married to the two guys, you know, in those days, the wife did what the husband wanted to do. I just drew that in for lanyard, because the Bible doesn't say, and they take the Bible and they put their opinions in it, and they try to back it up with different scriptures, but that's two things that are noted for that. Some people believe he only had the two daughters, and others believe that he had more that was married that didn't leave the city with him because of the son-in-law statement. But I hope you read the story. And if you go back to the 18th chapter, we see that God came to Abraham, and he told Abraham what he was going to do for him to get up and leave and go and do these things. But while he was talking to him, look what he said. You know, should I not tell you what I'm about to do? You know, the scriptures teaches us that God does not leave his people in the dark. And plenty of things God may be telling you, you just not listening. So after he told him, you know, to believe and get from the, you know, and all of that, God told Abraham that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. God knew Lot lived there. He knew that was Abraham's nephew. So Abraham started bargaining with God. He said, Lord, if you find 50, will you leave it and not destroy it? He said, if I find 50. He said, well, what if you find 40? What if you find 30? Will you not destroy it? He said, what if you find 10? He said, 20. Then he said, 10. He said, I won't destroy it. And he decided he was going to save Lot and his family. And then you see when we did the lesson tonight and I talked about Lot wanting to make a deal about not going to the mountains, you see, and he wanted to go to Zoar. He went to Zoar, but he was fearful there too. So the angel probably said, yeah, you want to go to Zoar, go. He knew it wasn't going to last. So Lot and his girls ran in the mountain and they start living in a cage, in a cave. And you know what happened then. The girls were fearful, believing that the world was ended, maybe, and that they wouldn't have any more, Lot wouldn't have any more family lineage. So they made the deal. They got him drunk. One got pregnant one night. They got him drunk again, and the next one got pregnant. They had two sons. The first one had a son named Moab, M-O-A-B, and that's the tribe of the Moabites. You know, when you read the Moabites, the Hittites, the Benjamites, that's where the Moabite tribe came. And then she had, the next one had another son, and his name was Benamah, and that's the tribe of the Ammonites. Hallelujah. And just to see how God was using everything he created to, you know, get what he wanted done in his master plan. You know, Ruth, if any of you read the story of Ruth, they said Ruth was a Moabite. So that was from the tribe of the Moabites, which was from Lot's really son by his daughter, Moab. And that's how you do when you study and you go back and you go back. But I'm just gonna leave you tonight with God allowed this writing, these scriptures to be in the Bible for a reason, to teach us something. And he gave us some backup scripture. So I leave you with this. Remember Lot's wife. You know, when she went to a pillar of stone, she became cold and unuseful and dead. And that's what happened to us when we turn our back on God and continue to look back at what we had or what we want and all of these things. But that's our lesson for tonight. And you could have a comment. I know somebody got something to talk about this lesson tonight. But a caller, your number is 504-858. You had pressed the one button on your phone, and I don't know if it maybe was to pray or what it was. Call up 858-000. Are you on the line? Hello? Okay, there's no one there. Anyone would like to say anything? They would like to add to it? Illyria, I'm going to press your button because once you prayed. Okay, I got a caller. Caller, your number is 504-256-56. Your mic is open.
How you doing, Sister Diane? This is Pam.
I'm doing fine.
That was a wonderful
lesson
that you did on tonight, and I just wanted to say, I wasn't going to press the button because I was ashamed to say this, but this is Bible study, and when you don't know, you got to say you don't know and you ask questions. I never knew that Solomon and Gomorrah was cities. I always thought it was two people, but I thank you tonight for that lesson that you brought that to my knowledge, because I never knew that.
Well, praise God, and thank God, because God is just like I was saying earlier. He's bringing us to where he wants us in his word, and that's why he have us in place for each other. And the only ridiculous question is the question that you don't ask. That's the only question that's ridiculous.
Okay.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Yes.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Sister
Yes,
Diane?
Yes, I can. Yes, it is.
Hi, this is Diane. Hi, I couldn't hear you for a few minutes. I just wanted to say it doesn't strike me as odd, but I just wanted to point out through the entire city, just those few people listened and were saved by God. That's a horrible thought in a way, but it's like a true statement for people to stick with the word and to enjoy it and have a big appetite for it. And it's a shame that it's just a small few, you know. But I know everybody
right.
in our Bible studies, I'm getting to know them by their names and everything. And you have that beautiful woman who used to sing to us. That was super nice too, but it's just so difficult for me to understand that it's just such a few people. Because
right.
I have to hold on, just to make it through my day, you know. And it's just
right.
To me, it's just odd that it's just so few. It's so few. You know?
And then, you know, with Sodom and Gomorrah, it was, you know, five cities that was destroyed. And they didn't destroy all of them, I don't think, but it was cities. They called it in a plain. But look at Noah and Ark, when the whole world was destroyed.
I know.
And it was only Noah, his wife, and his three sons and their daughters. And that was the whole world. The whole world. This was a few cities.
Yeah, it's shocking to me, you know. But it's shocking to me. But when you go out in the world and you talk to different people, and it just seems like they care about what they're getting today, what they're getting. It doesn't seem like they're looking to their future. That's
right.
What
I said in a lesson tonight, they're letting the green grass fool them.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But no, I just blessed to know you. I'm blessed that you have these Bible studies for us, and we just love you to death. We really do.
And I love each and every one of you guys, and I look forward to being with you guys on Wednesday. And I go to God in prayer for the message that he want me to bring, because he knows who's on the line and he know what they need. And I realize it's not about me, but it's all about God and his word for his people.
Yes, ma'am. It is.
So
too.
You be blessed, Sister Diane.
I am, but I just love the way he uses you and the way you let him use you. It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Okay, thank you for the encouraging word, because, you know, sometimes, you know, it's been a long time. If I've been on here for 6 years, you know, every Wednesday night that God allowed us to be here, and you know, you hope you're doing right, you know, and you don't know how the people receive it unless they tell you. So a lot of times, you know, which for me, it's a walk of faith. I have faith that this is what God wants me to do. I can't guarantee the outcome, but I just have to do what he say. But it's always nice to hear a word of encouragement along the way. And
I feel like the Holy Ghost is using you in such a positive way that we are all blessed because of it. But thank you.
Thank you, darling, and I love you.
Love you too, sister.
All right. Anyone else? Anyone else have anything to say? Would anyone? Let me call up. I think we was having a problem on the line. Caller, your number is 678-59803, and we couldn't hear you. If you'd like to say something, I see you done came back into the studio. You can speak at this time. Hello?
Yes, you can hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, okay, yeah, my phone had went out. I just wanted to say it was a wonderful lesson. And I remember the first time I read that scripture, remember Lot's wife, it stuck out in my mind because God said to remember her. So it was a reason to remember. Three little words, remember Lot's wife. And sometimes God delivers us from something, and that's a lesson for us to not to go back to that thing. He was delivering them from all the evil, and he was about to, you know, get rid of the town and stuff, and he was about to deliver them. God, when he forgive us, he forgive us, and he threw it in the sea of forgiveness, and we go drag it back out. That's why
yep.
I tell us to remember, you know, we don't want to perish. I know a lot of people that's, like, struggling with drugs, alcoholism, and stuff like that. If God deliver you and you know he deliver you, don't go back and drag that up. That's all I wanted to say.
Right.
It's a wonderful lesson. Wonderful lesson. Thank you for allowing God to use you in such a mighty way.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Carla. And I thank you for the comments, the encouragement. And if it's God's will, keep calling. And y'all remember, this is not Sister Diane Bible Study. It is Words of Wisdom, plain and simple Bible study on Wednesday night. And everybody who partake in it is a part of this. And everybody have equal rights. You might want to sing. You might even want to teach a lesson one night. You got to just let me know. Because I don't know everything. You know, so God is using all of us, and he has given this platform for us, and we should take full advantage of it. Thank you so much, my brother. Is there anyone else who would like to say something or someone would like to lead us out in prayer? You can press the one button on your phone. Well, I'm going to just do a benediction tonight because it's near and dear to my heart. The benediction scripture that I use, that I love, that I most of the time quote, the benediction is out of the book of 2 Peter. It's in the third chapter, and it's the 18th verse. That was the last verse that was the last writing of Peter in the Bible. And after that, Peter was going off to be crucified. So if Peter's last word to us, and he know he was going to be crucified, he had did a lot of teaching and preaching all of the while he was with Jesus, and this is what he leave us with. I think we should pay attention. And the word of God reads, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So with that being said, that's our program tonight, for tonight. If it's God's will, we'll be back on next week. And if y'all have a certain topic y'all want me to talk about, y'all could always let me know, and that will be our Bible study for that night. So y'all keep all of that in mind. If it's God's will, we'll meet back again. I want you to know that God loves you and I love you too. And if it's God's will, we'll be back on next week. Good night and be blessed.